But it is 11:15, and I'm so glad to be with you. And it's a good day in Wisconsin. Hope you can say the same where you are right now. The Lord is so good, isn't he? And I want to say a big thank you for those of you who called in last Thursday when it was my turn to shoot the basketball hoop. Well, Carol told me that you gave a total of $1,300 to sponsor the 21 programs who were unable to pay for themselves. Oh, that was great. I'm so grateful for each one of you who contributed. Bless your hearts. You listened and you gave. It's always so much fun for me to take part in the Hoops program. And by the way, that goes all through the month of March. Have you joined in the fun? If not, we'd be so grateful having you to join in and take part. So let me just say thanks ahead of time, okay? Well, today I want to continue on with my series, Behold Our God. I hope you're enjoying it. And maybe in a sense, I'm reading the Bible for you each day that I'm on the air. The steps and the events in Jesus' life, they were so wonderful. And I hope you remember that that word behold means consider the wonderful things ahead. In other words, listen up, attention. Something's coming that is amazing. And hopefully by the time we end the series at Easter, that you will say in your heart, oh, isn't Jesus amazing? And not just take it for granted, but praise his name. So that's the reason that I'm doing this, to stimulate your thinking and to realize the great sacrifice that Jesus gave for you and me, that we might be able to have eternal life and live with Jesus forever. Isn't that exciting? Well, here's my verse for the day, Luke 14:27. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Well, Jesus is choosing men who literally changed the course of world history. And as this time, two sets of brothers are called. Their names are James and John, the sons of Zebedee, and Simon and Andrew. In Matthew and Mark, the calling of the four fishermen is very brief. And as the scripture opens, we find John the Baptist visiting with two of his disciples. We know for sure that one was Andrew, and most Bible scholars think that the other one, the other person, was John. John was so shy, he never wanted to mention his own name in his book of John. He called himself the one Jesus loved. And several times he called himself that other disciple. Isn't that something? He really didn't want to write the name John. Well, John the Baptist had a large following, so people were still with him when they see Jesus appear. And John calls their attention to them and says, and here's that word, behold, behold the Lamb of God. It's interesting, I thought, as I was reading and praying. Why didn't he say, behold the Messiah, or behold the Son of God, or maybe even behold the one who baptizes with the Holy Spirit? Well, John was aware of the fact that the first problem we all have to settle with the Lord is the problem of sin. And of course, the lamb was the sacrifice for sin, and the people were looking for the Messiah to take away their sins and not having to sacrifice the lambs anymore. When the men heard this announcement, yes, they immediately, the Bible says, followed Jesus. And when Jesus saw them following him, he turned around and he asked, what do you seek? Isn't that just like Jesus to ask a question? So many places in the gospel, he starts out by asking a question. How interesting that he didn't say, who do you seek? In other words, he's asking them, what are you looking for in life? By the way, have you ever asked yourself that question? What do I really want with my life? Why am I here? And what do I want to take part in service? Well, I wonder really if the men were not kind of caught off guard by giving their weird answer of, where are you staying? Maybe this was their way of saying, by the way, we want to go with you. I love Jesus' answer. Come and see. You know what? He's saying that to you. Every one of us as listeners to the station today, come and see what I can do in your life. This is the first lesson in being a good witness for Christ. Those three little words, come and see, can be used as an opening to invite someone to visit your church. That's right. You can say, come and see what a wonderful church we have. The pastor preaches a great message, and the people are so warm and friendly. Won't you come and see? See, I'm giving you an opening to say to someone where you live as an invitation to church. That'll make your pastor happy. So, come and see is a short little way to be a good witness. This is one of the first lessons Jesus taught us in being a good witness. Come and see where I am so blessed by the Lord every Sunday. Well, by Roman time, back to the disciples, I want to go. It was about 4 p.m., and the disciples followed Jesus. Andrew was so excited. You know what he did? He went right away and found his brother Peter and announced to Peter that he had found the Messiah, the Christ. So he brought Peter to Jesus, and Jesus looked and called him by name and announced that he was now to be called Cephas, which means Peter. What a lesson for all of us that we need to share Jesus with our families. Wasn't that neat of Andrew? Right away, he was so excited about finding Jesus that he went right away and found his brother. Why would we not want our loved ones to be with us in heaven. Reminds me of the woman at the well. Andrew and Peter were also expecting the Messiah to come from their teachings of the Torah. They heard this every Sabbath in the synagogue. Well, at this point in Peter's life, he was far from being a rock, which he eventually was called. Aren't you glad that the Lord is never, ever through helping us to grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord and to see changes in our lives? The beautiful truth is that Jesus knew the end result of Peter's life. You see, he is an all-knowing God. I love Psalm 139, where we're told that the Lord knew us before we were even born. And he's, after all, no respecter of persons, so the same thing goes for you and me. He knows our potential, and he definitely has a plan for your life and mine. Let me ask you, have you checked with him lately on what that purpose is and what he wants you to do? Okay, let's keep on walking. Now we come the next day and Jesus finds Philip. All Jesus said was, "Follow me." Oh my goodness, if you know Jesus today, aren't you glad that Jesus found you? And take note that Philip didn't find Jesus. No, Jesus found Philip. I like to ask the question, since the scripture indicates that Andrew and Peter knew him, why didn't they tell Philip about Jesus? Jesus did. After all, Jesus was the most exciting person they had ever met. I think it was probably because Philip was very shy, and no one would even think of him. But Jesus did. So Philip followed and became a great evangelist for the Lord. Remember I said he was shy? Oh my goodness, how the Lord changed his life and made it so exciting. He just had to tell the good news. And then we see Philip in all of his excitement. Guess what? He found his close friend, Nathanael. We have found him of whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And here's a perfect way to witness. All Philip was doing was sharing the fact that now he knew Jesus as his very own Savior. How easy is that in sharing our faith? He didn't preach a sermon. No. He didn't even share a lot of verses from the Torah. But he reminded Nathanael of what they had learned from their teachings in that Torah. Nathanael's response was normal, for Nazareth at that time was a very little tiny city and was made up of mixed marriages and what they considered a low class of people, especially in the eyes of the Jews. So Nathanael said, "Can anything good come from Nazareth?" Philip gave that good invitation of three words, "Come and see." I hope the Holy Spirit impresses you today, so that you can take those three little words and use them to invite someone to church next Sunday. Well, back to my story. It's obvious that Nathaniel is skeptical and truly was the Messiah. Are you sure? Well, Jesus addresses him as, whoa, here's that word again, behold, attention, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile. You see, Jesus knew all about him. Isn't that something? What he meant literally was, here is an Israelite without any Jacob in him. Well, Nathanael's response was, you are right. How did you know that? How did you know me? Not only was he close enough for Jesus to see him, but here again, Jesus already knew all about him. It was his divine ability to know. Jesus said that he saw him under the fig tree. Well, Bible scholars teach us that Nathanael was probably reading the Torah and meditating under the tree, and no doubt he was studying about Jacob and his dream. Well, I'm out of time. Let me continue on my next broadcast. God bless you and have a wonderful day. Bye-bye.